This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the big show as we open up hour number two with Barry, Nick, and myself on The Usual Suspects. Had some Rockets talk going in hour number one, amongst other things.
By the way, when I went and got fitted for the tux, they talked me into getting a blue tux, like a navy-ish color. They said that's the thing now. I don't know. I don't wear tuxes very often. I don't go to fancy... you probably go more than me.
Did you get invited to those things? Hemline to the mid calf, or
I have no idea what that is. He just measured.
Are you going to do the Raheel and wear the mid calf hemline so the socks show?
No, that's not my style. I'm not rocking. No, it's going to be traditional black shoes, black socks. No, I'm not doing that. Yeah, but navy.
Is it now navy? I can see black the navy lapel. Part.
That's a great
look.
It is.
Yeah,
that's
navy
exactly
with a black lapel is a great
navy
look.
With a black lapel, black bow tie. And I'm embarrassed to say, he goes, now you want the bow tie or do you want like the fake one with the, I was like, give me the fake one.
No clip question on? About it. Smart move.
Yeah.
And although, that's common, right?
Yeah. I mean, because my problem would be is I would get there, something would happen and the bow tie would come loose and I'd be screwed. I would not be able to tie it back again.
I would agree with that.
So I'm like, at least this time around, maybe I'll eventually
buy.
There
is no shame in that game. If you've ever tried to tie a bow tie and know how frustrating that
it's
can
like
be.
Yoga.
Yeah, don't.
Good luck.
No shame there.
YouTube taught me how to tie a tie, like a regular tie.
Yep.
But a bow tie, I don't know.
I've been able, like, I learned how to tie a tie when I was like 14. So that's fine. But bow ties, never had to tie one. Now, I could just wear a bolo. Like Philip Rivers.
You go ahead and do that. See how that works.
You know, I actually had one of those, like in
you would be more like
junior
loud,
high or
it.
High school. They were popular at one point. Bolos, like Rivers Rocks.
Yeah.
They were actually popular at one point with white 501 jeans.
501
jeans. Yeah, 501s, white 501s and bolo ties were the thing back in the day, apparently. Did you see this? By the way, I'm sure you're going to be upset about this, Joel.
What's that?
Patrick Mahomes has a new endorser. He's a spokesperson now for Hunt's Ketchup.
Yeah. He's a dumbass.
Why?
Because Hunt's isn't anywhere close to Heinz.
I've
told
lobbying.
You guys this before. Just like when we talked about coffee and you guys and
where
we
he
can
was
tell.
Going.
But I'm telling you right now, it's like the taking the Pepsi challenge. Hunt's doesn't even come close to Heinz. Heinz is the ketchup.
You got to really be careful, though, when you say Hunt's Ketchup. If you mix up your words, it could be bad.
You're from Kuntz?
Could be bad. But this is the statement that he released. Now, you tell me if you believe that this was his words. I've been, because, you know, he's talked about putting ketchup on his macaroni and cheese, right?
Yep.
And eggs and whatnot. And he says he loves ketchup. That's when this all came about. But this was the statement. Mahomes said in a statement released by Hunt's. Released by Hunt's is the key. I've been a fan of ketchup for as long as I can remember, and the thick, rich flavor of Hunt's ketchup delivers every time. I'm thrilled to be joining the Hunt's team. Bitch, you didn't write that. You didn't say that.
Thank you to the Hunt's ketchup marketing department.
Who comes out and just says, oh, man, why do I love ketchup? Because the thick, rich flavor.
Did you see
no one uses those
did you see
words
the video?
Everyday life.
He's
no.
doing a curl like he's lifting
with
weights with a bottle of ketchup in his elbow so that the ketchup comes spurting out when he flexes his bicep. I'm like, that's a bit much.
Yeah, they kind of went over the top here. I mean, I guess they're taking advantage of the opportunity, and that's fine. But really, at least have it where like, man, I've been eating ketchup all my life, and I noticed that it's Hunt's that I eat. And I could think of anyone I'd rather be a representative for than Hunt's, because I've been something like that seems more natural than I'm all about that thick, rich flavor. Well, I bet you are.
So. Well, and the Chiefs ownership group is the Hunt family. Used to be Lamar Hunt. So
is
if you really wanted to have some fun, no, but I don't think so. I don't know, but you could have had some fun and go, I knew when I came to the Chiefs that just having the opportunity to play for Hunt's was going to be a key for me. Oh, wait.
Wait a
the
minute.
Hunt, well, you know, it's just another combination that makes ketchup great. Hunt's ketchup and the Hunt family playing for
what
the Chiefs.
What was he famous for?
Lamar Hunt?
Yeah. Principal founder of the AFL.
Yeah, AFL. I don't know how he made his money.
Okay.
But he's passed away and his son runs the team.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I'll tell you what, We'll see how the Heinz Field people take to the Hunt's ketchup guy if the Steelers and the Chiefs meet.
You ready?
Yeah.
This is his business ventures outside of sports.
Okay.
Silver speculation.
Nope.
So the silver market.
Uh-huh.
And amusement parks and caves.
What?
How much money is there in caves?
It's kind of weird.
That's really weird. It's like, so what do you, like, you give someone a business card? Hey, if you're ever in the market for a cave, just give me a shout.
Now, I know that there
Hey, Batman, listen, if you're looking to relocate, I know a guy.
I don't know about Alfred. His name's Alfred.
Yeah.
He's been out of work for a while.
The hell?
He's got a red phone.
Who's out here just hawking caves?
But here's the thing. Did you see that? Because if you're in West Virginia, you can hawk caves because there might be copper and gold in them there, hills and caves. But other than that, there was a story last week in West Virginia where three, like, teenage to in their early 20s kids got trapped in a mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the huge thing was, can we save their lives? And they're running out of air, and the rescue teams couldn't get in there because there wasn't enough air for them to survive and try and find them. And miraculously, they were able to save all three. And when they pulled them out, they were basically like, yeah, they were in there without permission looking for copper and gold.
Uh-oh.
Trespassing.
Uh-oh.
And it's like, seriously, do people still do that?
I mean,
gold, I guess copper, I guess you can get money for copper.
Yeah, that's why people are out here ripping off air conditioners.
Yeah, because they pay in $2 bills.
Copper's easy.
I do remember coming out. I had a Toyota 4Runner one time, and I was heading to work, and I started it up, and all of a sudden I hear this really loud noise coming out of my muffler.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out they stole my catalytic converter because apparently the metals in the catalytic converter, there's like a black market for it. Like there's like palladium or platinum or something in there. And they can extract it and sell it on the black market. So they jacked me for my catalytic converter.
Damn. Are they still doing that?
That was a big deal for a while, the catalytic converter.
Oh, yeah, because it takes 2 seconds to steal. It's just you just got to put two cuts in one pipe.
Are they still doing that?
They did that. They did right in front of my house, man. Like 10 years ago.
Oh, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing?
I mean, I think it's much more difficult to steal converters now. I think they place them in a different spot.
Oh, okay. Well, in case you're curious, so they talk about the amusement parks on his wiki page, but it says immediately south of the Hunt-founded parks is the Hunt-developed Subtropolis, a 55 million square foot, 1,100-acre man-made limestone cave, which is claimed to be the world's largest underground business complex.
There's offices in it?
55 million square foot cave that has offices.
Damn thing better not collapse.
I'm saying that's scary, but.
Yeah, I'm not doing all that. I'm not in for all that.
Yeah, so he made his money in caves.
And it's underground?
That's kind of how caves work.
Well, no, not sometimes. Sometimes it's above ground. But yeah,
oh, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Well, yeah. I guess that's technically still underground because the ground goes up.
And speaking of that underground, did you see with the Rams game on national TV last weekend with their new stadium that it's so close to the airport that it had to be dug down underground like 100 feet?
Yeah, I saw that.
And the only other building that had been dug down that far, Toyota Center.
Really?
Because Toyota Center went down like, I think it's like 123 feet. But when they did what they call it... I forget the name of it, but the TV trucks to get down and it winds down.
Mm-hmm.
They were worried that they would have enough room and how far down the trucks could go because it's so far down off of ground level to get down underneath to the floor level at Toyota Center.
Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody texted and said, the Rockets are back to winning when Kurt Lowe jumps back on the bandwagon and starts doing post-game broadcasts. He does broadcasts?
Not broadcasts, like podcasts. Or like blog, whatever you call it.
God, I couldn't imagine.
He sent me a message last night.
I can imagine the only thing worse than reading his stuff is listening to him.
Oh, he said it this morning. Lisa sent out some tweet because they were doing something on the news this morning about when you're traveling for the holidays, what's the worst thing you have to deal with? Body odor, guy who wants to talk to you too much, and all these different scenarios. And Kurt Lowe thought he was funny and sent it to me and said, I thought she was just talking about you. And I was like, how long did it take you to think of that one on your own? Jeez.
I can't trust anybody that thinks Russell Westbrook can't shoot. Like, once he said that, I'm like, I'm out. You're done. If you think Russell Westbrook can't shoot.
You're talking about
Westbrook, Nick. I don't want to have a conversation with you about basketball ever.
Russell Westbrook, as he refers to
him. Did you guys see Rick Pitino got his back on his feet?
Yeah, EuroLeague. Greek team.
Oh, good for him.
Goal is to coach in the NBA.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen.
Really?
Yeah, because there's less rules. and what you can and can't do. And if
I mean, after that FBI probe, you think
as long as there's Italian restaurants on the side table, he's going to be taken care of.
You can
just
make
fine.
Money off of shoes and hookers and whatever else. So
yeah, I mean, look, there's hardly as many things to worry about in terms of breaking rules in the NBA. That's the first thing Calipari, when he first went to the NBA, his first go round, he took a shot at it. And I remember him telling Charles, the craziest thing is that there's no rules, but the crazier thing is that the players don't listen to you because they make more money than you do.
They don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's different.
Apparently Josh Gordon stepping away from football as well.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. Is this it for him? I mean, is he done? Because, look, this was everybody saying his last chance, and with the Patriots, there's no room for error, and you can't slip up. And then this morning, he goes out and tweets, and everybody is...
Instagram.
Saying,
I'm taking a mental... I take my mental health very seriously, so at this point, to ensure I remain able to perform at the highest level, I recently felt like I could have a better grasp on things. With that said, I will be stepping away from the football field for a bit to focus on my mental health, and it goes on. But...
Schefter and those guys were saying whether he did that or not, he was about to be suspended. He had violated the substance abuse policy again.
Yeah.
When you start getting into all that and with his previous violations, you have to start asking the question, is this the end?
How old is he?
Oh, he's still plenty young.
But here's the deal. If the mental health thing is
27,
is true.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have we seen somebody not bounce back from mental health issues and just never play? I mean, wasn't there a play? Was it Royce White?
Royce White. I was just going to say, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, and I'm not suggesting that he doesn't have it, but to your point, Joel, how much of this is the fact that he was going to be suspended anyways, or that this was going to happen because he, failed the substance abuse policy or a substance abuse test? So, I don't know. He's 27 years old. I was surprised. I forgot he was from Houston. Totally forgot he was from Houston.
Yep.
But 27 years old, probably sits out another year at least, 28.
With the suspension, remember, now he's already sat out for a full year before with the suspension. So you got to believe that the league, as much as they want to be lenient because they have to be somewhat sympathetic to the circumstances, you can't give him the same sentence that he's already been given if, in fact, he was found guilty of violating. That's going to be the key.
Yeah.
If he actually violated it.
So I'll say, do I think his career is over? Probably not, because there are plenty of teams that need a wide receiver that feel like they're still in it or would be in it next year. For example, if the Patriots don't go out and make a move, he might be welcomed back. There are teams that are looking for, we've got a quarterback. I mean, you don't think Aaron Rodgers wouldn't love to be throwing to Gordon? There are teams that need help at that position, and as long as that's the case, and if he can stay on the field, they'll take a chance on him.
The same excitement where they would take the chance is the same worry they're not willing to take, because what if they take the chance like the Patriots and they invest time and energy and he starts coming around and then this happens again?
Okay, but you know what? I would be willing to bet you that NFL teams look at that and don't care. They're like, well, you know what? If he's smoking weed, that's legal in like half the country now. It's illegal for the NFL. It's against the rules in the NFL. But you know what it's not? It's not domestic violence. It's not abuse. And I bet you teams would fade marijuana and the repercussions that would come with Josh Gordon as opposed to him having to leave because, he beat up his girlfriend or whatever. So I feel like, if it's weed, if it's drug-related and mental health-related, I think teams would fade that.
I think if you're a middle-of-the-road team, you take the risk. If you're a championship-caliber team and you're relying on them, I don't think you can.
But if you're a championship-caliber team, don't you have the leadership and the personnel in place to be able to keep him
the Patriots
under
thought
control?
So.
Well, I mean, yeah.
And the Patriots are supposed to be the toughest. They can reform anybody.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We'll see. I mean, and here's the thing. All you local bloggers and guys that think that tell everybody to EAD if they were sympathetic to Josh Gordon, the biggest thing you should be sympathetic to the fact is you don't know what he's going through. And what I can only hope for, which is what Lewis Riddick and some people said, and I could not agree with more, whether he plays football another down in his life or not, let's just hope he gets all this stuff under control.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, there's a lot rockier road ahead, and no one wants that. So let's just hope he gets better. And stop worrying about whether, he's a P-word because he doesn't want to play football anymore or if people are sympathetic to him. Dude, you don't know what he's going through.
Yeah.
So just step back. All right, well, we're going to continue to roll on. Hour number 2, 3-hour show. Room for you if you've got something that you want to get off your chest. HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. By the way, Astros pitcher out 6 to 8 months. Not the news you want to hear. If you're an Astros fan, we'll fill you in on that and a whole lot more as we come back. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back. Hour number two, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Checking your messages, are you?
Yeah, I looked at my phone and it's a text from Joel. Where are you, dude? It's 2:17. When are you going to be here?
Feel free to show up and add something to the show.
You're saying I'm not contributing to this fine program, Joseph?
You went from a little under the weather to drowning.
I feel like I'm dying right now. God.
So you're definitely not getting better.
I really thought I was, but like being here, I'm going downhill fast. It's sucks. But to update the
forget
story.
Forget the thrive. You just need to strive to be here tomorrow.
I do.
You're a star, Barry.
I'm not.
You got to show up to Klein's. You got to show up
to Nick's
place.
What the hell's wrong with you? The minute you said that, I gave you.
I totally agree with that.
I had lasers for eyes. You're the star.
I am the star.
I mean, I thought you heard the facetiousness in my tone. Like I didn't.
I need to hear more.
No, it felt genuine.
I need to hear you call him an ass clown in the same sentence or something.
Ass clown.
Y'all can't run from the truth. But the league later confirmed the suspension of Josh Gordon and said, effective today, this was 5 hours ago, Josh Gordon has returned to the reserve commissioner suspended list indefinitely for violating the terms of his conditional reinstatement under the policy and program for substances of abuse.
Yeah.
So he tried to get out ahead of it. You were gone anyways. So
yeah,
that sucks, man. You know, it's a disease. Substance abuse is a disease, and that addiction, man, it can grab a hold. I know plenty of people that have been in AA and NA and had that.
Me too.
Control their life, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Yeah, I've had friends take their life because they couldn't get it under control, and that's why I'm saying football is so secondary right now to just trying to get a grasp on this so that he doesn't lose his life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that serious. It really is.
He's still in his 20s, so this might be an – you know, he still can catch
27,
himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's still young enough to change. Once you start getting into your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, you start, you know.
But how many chances is he going to get, fellas?
Well, like, that's why this window is so – I don't think he's going to get it. I mean, I heard what Barry was saying. When you can't keep the guy on the field and you have to pay him money, even if it's a small contract, you have to consider that.
Like, I think any team, though, once he comes off of that list, regardless of what it is, whether he proves he's been sober for 2 years or whatever he does, any team is going to be smart enough to manipulate the contract so that if it happens again, you're not getting paid or you owe us everything. Limited contract, limited reps, I would imagine. That's all going to be baked into there.
Yep.
And here's the thing. Everyone's going to kick the tires. But let's just think about Johnny Manziel for a second. The fact that Johnny wasn't as severe as Josh Gordon, but think about how quickly he ran out of options and teams were like, nope, not doing it anymore. Regardless of the reason, if you can't stay on the field and you can't stay dedicated to your craft, I can't contribute my resources and stick my neck out for you to just do whatever you want to do.
And I feel like you have a little bit less of a leeway when you're a quarterback. If you're a quarterback and you're a drug addict versus like a wide receiver, I'm not calling Josh a drug addict. I'm just saying, it's a much bigger responsibility.
It's the most important position in the game.
So you can't have a substance abuse issue in most cases and play quarterback in the NFL. In most cases. Now, if you're super talented and you can get past that, that's a different story. But in most cases, you cannot.
It's challenging, for sure.
Somebody texted this, and this is to show you the ignorance. And I'm not calling you ignorant. I'm just saying you're ignorant to this discussion. But they said, a disease that those poor children at MD Anderson are dying of. An addiction is his choice. Those kids have no choice. Alcoholism is a disease.
No question.
So we'll just agree to disagree. But Chris Householder texted and said, vases in cemeteries are being stolen en masse, and like in just in large quantities because they're made of copper.
I believe that.
The level of theft in cemeteries has gone up exponentially in the last couple of years.
It's crazy.
Yeah, people go. And it used to be just the flowers. Cheap asses wanted to get some flowers that they could recycle real quickly to try and
sell on the streets.
I feel creeped out going to a cemetery and thieving. That is so weird. How could you? Weird. People have no heart, dude.
No. I know we're going to get to your Astros tease, but real quick, one more text. Hey, guys, funny show. I've been struggling with being depressed from the holidays, but your show always makes me laugh. Joel knows more about basketball than anyone in the city. Barry is hilarious, and Nick always provides great commentary. Have a good holidays. Thanks sincerely, TC. TC, man.
Yeah, TC.
Yeah, thank you for the kind words, and we're glad we can entertain you, and we hope things look up for you, man.
Happy holidays, TC. Yeah.
Absolutely.
If we can ever be that helper, just, man, make sure you stay a usual suspect. We'll do what we can for you.
Pink Valkyrie said, can I spray Barry with Lysol tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no question about it. And Purell.
It might be Mace. Please don't tell people they can spray me with things.
No doubt. You can rub
your forehead. No doubt. They can, shut up.
That's how Harold got to figure out your neck size. He put his hand around your neck.
First of all, it's not Harold. He's passed
that's right.
Away.
Harold, R.I.P. Harold. Wiesenthal. Michael figured out your neck size by putting his hand around your neck. So everybody that wants to bring Purell.
You should have just stopped that. No, I don't want anybody touching me tomorrow. But I hope everybody does so I can get you all sick.
I like the Lysol idea.
Come by so I can cough in your face.
Huggy Bear.
Hug? No.
Yeah,
hugs. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, you know what? Come up and hug me.
Yeah.
With a cough surgical in your face.
With a surgical mask
no,
on, they can hug you.
Come up and hug me. I'll cough in your face, rub my dirty, sick hands all over you. So,
all right, here's the news that you didn't want to hear. An Astros pitcher to miss 6 to 8 months after rupturing his left Achilles tendon during a workout last week. The surgery was Tuesday, and General Manager Jeff Luhnow said he expects the pitcher to be missing the entire first half of the regular season, but be ready for the second half after the All-Star break and return to action. It is not a starter, thank goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
It is reliever Joe Smith.
Okay.
So your bullpen takes a little bit of a hit.
Yep.
There was he was up and down, obviously, last year. Working out, he's going to be gone now until mid-season. So I guess that opens up the opportunity for another one of the young guns to be. I mean, you had even said maybe Whitley gets a place in the bullpen simply because of the fact that they need someone to come out of the pen that can throw some heat, that can get some guys out. Otherwise, you know, there's plenty of options. If Fromber needs a home, you could find him in the bullpen. Yeah, Fromber Valdez. There's so many different options that now open up.
Well, depending on what they do, if they add anybody to this rotation, if they do go out, because there was the discussion of them going out and adding a left-handed arm to the bullpen, possibly, they looked at it, but I think that they feel comfortable with C.N.L. Perez and what the options that they have. You're right. It could be Forrest Whitley, but this also could mean that Colin McHugh and or Brad Peacock stays in the bullpen and they do go
CNL
out. C.N.L.
Perez.
I mentioned him from a lefty perspective, but the you could see them. Now they've got to kind of decide, are we going to just add somebody to the rotation and leave Peacock or McHugh in the bullpen? Because if they don't, one of those guys is going to have to join the rotation. So this might open that door to where one or both of them.
Because the article, the Chronicle, said that they've already basically assumed Tony Sipp has departed via free agency. McHugh will be in the rotation, so he's out.
Yep.
So they're going to have to reconstruct part of their bullpen. And here's the name you didn't mention, Barry. Rogelio Armenteros is another internal candidate they look to possibly give a tryout during spring training to see if he can move up.
Ah.
Along
is it the G-silent, Rogelio?
I don't know, Lisa,
I'm just trying to aggravate you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know, Lisa, is it? Are you going to want me to roll the R,
I don't
R
even know
too?
If it's Rogelio. I just knew he made that face right when
Rogelio?
I said it.
Rogelio? Armenteros?
This is great.
Rogelio Armenteros? Thanks, Lisa. Next time we're sitting in the living room, you correct me on the pronunciation, I'll give you the same reaction.
He gets so bad when I do that.
This is like watching a couple just
It's just
implode.
Like I do in the opening segment when you guys go at it.
This is,
I've been nice today.
Are y'all going to have sex when you make up?
See, no.
See,
you had
now
to go and take
far.
It to a there.
See?
Oh, now you're going to turn on me, guys?
Always got
to
cross the line.
2-on-1.
Always got to cross the line.
I bet y'all like that.
Hugs. Purell.
Yeah, no, I'm welcoming the hugs. Come hug everyone. Everyone come hug me tomorrow.
Talcum powder on the back of the neck.
Do it. Come hug me tomorrow.
Okay.
Please come hug me.
Koozies and t-shirts?
No.
Okay.
You're not getting none of that.
Oh, all right. Hey, we're at the midway point of the show. We're going to take a break, come back with a whole lot more. Second half is coming up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's The Usual Suspects, second half of the show. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday. As you can hear, my friend over here is feeling tip-top shape. He should be at least 35% by tomorrow. When we have the big listener appreciation Christmas party, it starts at Klein's Fine Jewelers at 7 a.m. They're doing an onside kick by Mark Klein to kick off the extravaganza. Nice. And the person that recovers the onside kick gets a prize. That's kind of cool.
Nice.
He used to kick field goals across Westheimer, but you got to believe that could be dangerous if he shanks one.
That could be dangerous.
Yeah.
I got faith in him, though. He's not going to shank anything.
So 7 a.m. until 11, Klein's Fine Jewelers. 11 till 7, Palillo, Usual Suspects, Blitz, all at Nick's place, Rocky Ridge, right up Westheimer. So make it a Westheimer-type Friday and make sure you partake in a lot of fun tomorrow with ESPN 97.5.
Word. Do yeah. that. Do
are
that.
You going to both, Barry? Klein's and Nick's place? Or are you going to one?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of have to.
Oh, I was just curious.
Why do you kind of
Klein,
have to?
Klein is my peoples.
Right.
I'm going figured. To that. I'm going to see all the peoples, the listeners. I'm going to hang out.
And then take off the
and
afternoon.
Then I got to do my show.
Your show.
My show. Mm-hmm. I mean, he gets so upset about that. It's your show, too. So when you talk about the show, it's okay if that. You say my show.
I don't do that. Now, you know why I don't do that?
Why?
Because, again, my wife, if I say to Taylor,
Daddy's got to go do a show,
go in my room and get something off the nightstand. Your room? It's our room. I get corrected. The same way I
really?
Get corrected on the rule of the R's. Yeah. It's a big deal.
I was just correcting him just to
I feel like
I was outstanding.
This is all of our shows, but when you talk about it, it's your show too. If you tell someone, oh yeah, you should listen to my show, you know, it's every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. You're going to say our? They don't know who you, the rest of us are if they're talking to you for the first time. It's okay to say my show.
I start because
it
you.
Is your show and it's my show and it's, well, it's not his show. Nick
no,
doesn't.
It's just my show.
Yeah.
If you're here and I'm here, isn't it our time?
Oh my God. I'm not.
Nick hasn't seen that movie.
No.
Okay. Which movie again?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
No, probably not.
And you should probably see it. Brandon's been holding on. Brandon, I'm just telling you right now. Don't feel too comfortable now. You had your fun yesterday.
Uh-oh.
So, I just got to tell you guys, I tune in every day. I turn on my radio at 1 o'clock, and the first thing out of Joel's mouth today is how a dog is about to cost him $3,800. Mm-hmm. The follow-up, I look at my phone, and I get a text message from my wife saying, hey, we got the dog. We've been trying to adopt a dog for 9 months now.
What?
We finally got approved because we're getting her from a rescue.
Why 9 months?
I don't know.
It's harder to get a dog than a kid.
Why 9 months for a dog? Call my wife. It'll be there in 9 minutes.
Yeah.
That's insane,
we
Brandon.
Wanted a particular, we wanted very particulars about our dog.
Like what?
What
kind of dog? Just tell me what kind of dog it is.
She's a spotted German short-haired pointer.
Okay, say no more. That's you waited too long.
So that's not a rescue, Brandon. That's like a purebred.
She is a rescue. She came from an abused home, but she's not gun shy. So I hunt. So I need a dog that's not gun shy. So I needed a dog that was younger, but that had been through the parvo treatments and made sure that she was healthy and everything. Unfortunately, her name's Tinkerbell. Unfortunately, Tink tested positive for heartworms. So she just got finished with her heartworm treatment. So, or she's in the final stages. She's got 3 months left, and they approved us to foster her while she finishes her treatment. So she's on her medication and stuff, but we're going to actually get her probably next month, which will be just in time. My daughter's birthday is February 1st. And
Brandon,
she's
this
been
is a lot
begging
of, Brandon,
for a dog.
This is a lot of extra information.
So anyway, I had two family members. My mother died from alcoholism. I know it's not a thing, but her body went into shock when she quit drinking. and caused her to go into cardiac arrest. She passed away at 53 years old. And then my sister is about a year and 2 months clean off of methamphetamine.
Very good.
So I know firsthand, I understand that at first it is a choice. It is a choice to start. It is a decision that you make. But there is a time where it actually causes an imbalance and it actually takes over mentally. And you almost need it the same way you need oxygen. And watching my sister firsthand, because I took her to rehab, I took her to her appointments, I took her to the hospital when she OD'd, I took care of a lot of things with my sister. So I have a lot of sympathy for what Josh Gordon's going through. I understand that a lot of people are going to say he tried to duck and everything. Maybe that's the case. It's probably not. The dude probably has something going on in his head or something that went left in his life that caused him to decide to do what he did.
We appreciate the phone call, buddy. I totally agree with him. I mean, Josh is, obviously dealing with some issues, and I think anybody that's dealing with some mental health issues needs to address that, and address it thoroughly. So let him get healthy, and we hope that your sister and anybody in your family that's dealing with anything like that,
I tell you,
get well soon.
I think his point, and Brandon can tend to get a little wordy, but I think his point was the fact that maybe it's a choice when you start,
but it
becomes a disease. And if you've ever been through the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous, or you know people that have gone through it, or you've gone through Al-Anon, or you've been a codependent of somebody that's been an alcoholic or a drug addict, then you know, you're right. At some point, it does become. At some point, it's a choice, but then it becomes a disease. And so you have to treat it as such, too.
And it's exactly what I was saying with all the keyboard heroes and warriors who think that they're tough and they start when they've never been there, done that, and been through it. And unless you've been through it, and I'm with you, I've lost loved ones, to it's a disease.
Yep.
And it's a struggle every single day. And even when you think you've been clean for this amount of time, it can rear its head in an instant, and it can take your life. And it's not any joke. It's not a joking matter, for sure.
No. And best to you and your family.
Yeah, Brandon. Anybody struggling with that, the best to you and your family. And to Josh. I mean, athletes have issues too. Just because they make a little money doesn't mean they don't have issues. So
it's just, that's what I'm saying. It's just very, very shallow for people to only see the football side of this and not be concerned about the human side and the human being and his well-being. So, all right, we're going to continue to roll. We've got still some time left in hour number two, and then a full hour number three, joined by the Sports Mappers as well, as we take you all the way up until 4 o'clock. Then we hand it over to the Blitz. Blitz will take you home till 7. You don't have to do a thing but be entertained right here on the number one sports radio station in the city of Houston, Texas, ESPN 97.5. Let me begin. I came
to win. Battle me. That's a sin. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, wrapping up hour number two, 3 hour show. Usual Suspects on a Thursday here at the Gal Media Studios, right in the Galleria location. Tomorrow, again, we will be on location for our show at Nick's Place, which is Rocky Ridge off of Westheimer, close to the Beltway. And, of course, if you want to get the all day's worth of festivities for the Christmas party at Gal Media and for all the shows, the bench will start you off at Klein's Fine Jewelers tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., 7 a.m. to about 10:30 or so there, and then 11 to 7, Charlie Palillo, us, and the Blitz.
It's going to be a good time.
Should be.
I'm excited.
You know what I really want to do? That's why I hope Taylor's able to go to school tomorrow. I really want to go because I want to get my man's quesadillas that always tweets both of our shows. Yeah.
What do you mean?
He talked about the fact he already went and got the strip steak and everything like that, but he sent pictures before to us in the bench of the quesadillas he makes at his restaurant. They look fantastic.
Oh, he's bringing them to Klein's?
Yeah, he's making them nice. They're like making it like a tailgate at a Texans game.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Nick, you say they're going to try to get off the whole day?
Yeah, I don't think I'm producing from here. I think I'll be at Nick's place.
That's great. I don't know
if I'll make it to Klein's, to be honest.
You've got to do something in the morning?
I just don't know if I'll wake up, to be honest with you.
Really?
But, yeah. I mean, it's at 9 in the morning.
It's at 7.
That starts at 7.
Oh, I'm not going to be there at 7.
Well, neither am I. But no way. I'm saying I'm going to try to get there about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, hang that's out fine. 11. I mean, 9:30, 10 is possible.
Okay. Well, you're closer to it than I am.
Where is it again?
Really? Klein's is on Westheimer, right in the gallery.
It's at Klein's Jewelry. Yeah. It's like literally three blocks up the road.
Seriously.
From
no,
us.
I'm not. I thought the, but I didn't. I wasn't sure if it was the Klein's party was at a different event than.
Oh no, no, it's right. It's at Klein's. It's literally in the parking lot of Klein's.
You can go to Klein's and just keep going on Westheimer.
Opportunity
up
to clarify for our listeners.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm looking
the
forward
after
to
party's
it.
At Barry's.
Okay. No.
No.
Not happening at all.
Not happening on the back 40 tomorrow night?
Not happening.
Bonfire?
No. I'm driving from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, listening to you guys on the app. That's cool.
That's awesome.
I love that we've got listeners in Philly and Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Louisiana, and Cut and Shoot. That's great.
People big fan of Cut and Shoot.
You are a big fan of Cut and Shoot, aren't you?
Well, they love me in Cut and Shoot, Texas.
You used to be a big fan of Kuntz.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of folks were wondering, is Brandon's call over yet? Brandon, bro, we love you, but gosh, you're wordy. I just wanted to know what kind of dog it was. That was my bad. I should have never. That was. Whew.
You live and you learn, Bear.
Yeah, Clarence is getting better. He used to be wordy.
I was just going
to
say, I mean.
It's just like you got to start training them one at a time.
Clarence was kind of the king of the shot clock.
He was.
And now he's got competition.
Yeah, he was the four corners offense.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's gotten better. He's gotten better at it.
No doubt about it. So yesterday, Jeff Luhnow out and about at the press conference for Michael Brantley also made mention of the fact that, hey, they're still kicking tires, exploring options and looking at things, but really, of course, wasn't going to tip his hand. But he said the guys upstairs at the building were still continuously working.
Right.
Along that front, the two big names that we've both agreed that are not going to be anywhere on the Astros radar, Manny Machado met with the White Sox. Then he went to Yankee Stadium, met with the Yankees, and then he went to Philadelphia and met with the Phillies. So we'll see if we might have some clarity on where he's going to end up playing. No word from Bryce Harper's camp yet because he met with a bunch of teams off-site, away from the hotels in Vegas where he's from during the winter meetings. But those are the two biggest fish still out there. But obviously neither one on the Astros radar. Interesting where they go from here because, as you'd mentioned earlier in the week, this JT Realmuto thing is very interesting. And if they're going to give up a prospect and they're going to make a trade, do you want a starter or do you want that catcher that could also end up being one of your core four should one of those guys get too pricey?
I think you can, you know, catchers are going to be a lot harder to come by than an arm because you don't necessarily have to get a one every time you go out and get an arm for your rotation or your bullpen for that matter. But a good catcher that can hit, very rare. That's why they always say the fastest path to the big leagues is to be a catcher because it's rare.
It's rare.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you have two ones on your roster. And I say two ones because should one or the other, Verlander or Cole, end up going into free agency and picking another team, the other would then immediately become your one. Verlander obviously was already your one, but Cole was fully capable. So the guy that you're bringing in is a 2-3, no matter where they've been a one before, because it's going to be hard. You're going to be hard pressed to have a guy that you bring in be better than the two that you have at the top of your rotation.
Yeah, no doubt.
So that kind of makes the circumstances a little easier for Luhnow and his staff.
Right. You don't have the pressure of, got to find an ace. Got to find an ace.
Because Corey Kluber is the ace of the Cleveland Indians.
Yep.
But Corey Kluber in this roster, is a three.
I think he'd be ahead of Cole.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he's ahead of Cole. I think him and Verlander would be 1-1A.
How great would it be in the offseason if Cole just worked on one other pitch?
Man, that'd be nasty.
Some change of pace that could really keep hitters off balance and not have to sit on the back foot waiting for the heater.
That'd be totally nasty.
It really would.
Yeah. By the way, did you guys see this? Travis Scott got added to the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, I saw that. He's getting big. Or he's already big.
Yeah, he's pretty big.
He's kind of a big deal. Especially down here in...
If you get your own Jordans,
your own shoes,
you're pretty big.
Yeah.
I'm just... I love H-Town. I love. I'm not a Travis Scott fan.
You've said that really in the past.
Not, yeah.
I mean, here's the bigger thing. The bigger thing is, how did he get it? Because I know that around here he's big.
Are they still having to do it for
big,
free?
But no, but the bigger thing is that Amy Schumer started this whole thing where you boycott the Super Bowl because of all the kneeling and all these things. So all these artists were passing. Maroon 5 was the first artist to sign on, said they were going to do the halftime this year. But they've really struggled to find another artist to go in on it with Maroon 5. And the minute Amy Schumer started speaking up about how her whole thing was, her whole plan was working, they came out and added Travis Scott.
Amy Schumer,
the comedian,
said to boycott the NFL because
they
kneeled. Yeah, there
was this boycott the halftime. All the entertainers should boycott the Super Bowl halftime
because of the kneeling.
The kneeling and things, yeah.
Because she felt it was she. So she's on the side of the owners.
Uh huh.
Oh, that's surprising.
So it's been a really big story lately.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, that to try and find another act to join Maroon 5 because it had been building and building about the fact that there were a lot of people that were staying away from it for the bad publicity they could possibly get.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's not a a draw, obviously. I know at one point they were saying that they weren't going to pay people to do the Super Bowl halftime show.
They never have.
You had to do it for free. Because you're getting paid in exposure.
Which I always thought that was surprising because Maroon 5, Beyonce, like, do they really need the exposure? Like, I
exactly.
feel like they're doing them a favor. But I don't know. I heard that too, that some of these artists or maybe all of these artists are not getting paid. I don't know what to do. I don't know how valuable it is to do halftime show.
But what's crazy, though, is that if you think about who do you think is – like, people aren't tuning in to see Maroon 5 and Travis Scott. They're sitting through it. People aren't, you're not like, oh, crap, it's almost halftime. We got to flip over to the Super Bowl to watch Maroon 5. So that from that standpoint, I guess it does make sense. But still, the production and the like, you got to pay me. I'm working. You got to pay me something.
I would imagine, I don't know why Beyonce would do that for free, but maybe that's
NFL's
tradition.
The NFL's profiting on it, so why wouldn't you too?
Exactly.
NFL's making boatloads of cash on the Super Bowl. Just look at the broadcast television rights and the rights to the broadcast across all the different languages across the world. So there's that. But here's this for you, Barry. Amy Schumer gave herself a pat on the back, taking credit for no artist collaborating with Maroon 5 at the Super Bowl halftime show. Her quote is, "I've done 2 Super Bowl commercials in the last couple of years, and I'm so stupid thinking my opinion would matter, right? Well, guess what? I may have made a difference. No one is stepping up to perform. Maybe they wouldn't have anyway, but at least I tried to help out and do what other people are too greedy or too afraid to do." Schumer called out artists in an effort to block them from performing at the Super Bowl halftime in an effort to protest the NFL's treatment of players who kneel during the national anthem, a protest in itself against police brutality against people of color.
But I asked you earlier, whose side was she on? You said the owners. She's not.
I'm sorry. I was just got caught up in the whole.
Okay, that's what shocked me is that I was like, why is Amy Schumer siding with the owners? That doesn't make sense because I know Amy Schumer and what her political beliefs are. Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
And she said, "Would you do that to stand up for people of color? I may have made an impact. You can write about sports and even be the best at it. But what have you done to help them marginalized or underrepresented? I will continue to do everything I can."
Okay.
So there you go.
Yeah, that makes a little more sense for me.
My bad.
I was so confused for a moment there because I was like, that doesn't sound anything like Amy Schumer, that she would be taking the size of the owners. But yeah.
So that's been a huge deal because they've had several people that they thought were close to signing on and then, for whatever the reason, backed out.
Well, I mean, good for her if that's her stance. I would back out because you're not paying me. I would just be like, you know what? I appreciate the opportunity, and you're right. Now, there are some times where maybe you're dropping an album. Didn't Justin Timberlake do that? Was it like he was dropping his shoes or an album or something, and that's why he did it? I think it was when he did the collaboration with Tinker. And so, so he had those shoes and they were dropped. So I get that. If you're promoting something, that's how you pay me.
Yeah, Tinker Hatfield, the designer, he did those.
Yeah, but if this just to perform, nah, player, you got to pay me.
Yeah, and we need to look at that if that's still the case about not getting paid for the halftime.
Right.
But
I'll
I'm with
it.
You because the NFL makes a whole hell of a lot of money.
I'll Google it.
All right, before we head to the actual break and get the sports mappers in here, I want to tell you about PXG Golf because if you're looking for the perfect gift for the golfer on your list, PXG Golf Clubs are exactly that and more because every golfer that plays the game, whether it be recreational or competitively, is looking for an advantage. They want clubs that hit it hard, higher and farther, feel better, are more forgiving. That's everything that PXG Golf Clubs are. They're the newest, latest, and greatest clubs on the market. market. And you can ask anybody from the people that review golf clubs that say simply remarkable, absolutely the best. The pros that fit you at the courses and they sell the clubs on a regular basis say insanely good. They live up to all the hype. And on top of that, PXG clubs have won on every major tour around the globe, including college national championships. So tour pros can't stop raving about them. What are you waiting for? Step up your game. Enjoy more golf than ever. Schedule your fitting at the Club of Carlton Woods right here in the Woodlands. Call 844-PLAY-PXG, 844-PLAY-PXG, or visit pxg.com to book your custom fitting. PXG Golf. Nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, period.
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.